Turn with me in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 25. Exodus chapter 25. We're in a section of Scripture where God is declaring to Moses and his people his intention to dwell with them, and he has given to them the instructions for his house, his tent. It will be in the middle of the camp of Israelites, and it is to be made in accordance with the pattern that Moses was revealed on the mountain. And we've taken 2 weeks so far. We'll take this week and one more week to detail all everything that was communicated to Moses and everything that was fulfilled faithfully by he and his people to build this dwelling place of God. Sometimes it's not easy. We plow through rather large portions of Scripture with a lot of detail. But it's good for us. It is God's Word. We believe here at Grace that every word is God's Word, and it's all profitable for us. Life isn't about being entertained. It's about worshiping God the way He has determined in His Word. And one of the ways that He has determined is that we read His Word publicly. And so I make no bones about it. We will continue to read large portions of God's Word if that's what the text tells us to do. Last week, we talked about the tent itself. We talked about the frames of wood overlaid with gold. We talked about the four layers of curtains. We talked about the veil. We talked about the screen. And we talked about the Ark of the Covenant, which was in the Holy of Holies. There was the holy place and the Holy of Holies. Today, we're going to talk about the furniture that was in the holy place. So we're going to just plow right in, okay? And I've asked some of the deacons to come up here and read certain portions of God's Word. So I've asked Jim, first of all, Jim, if he could come up and read Exodus 25, 23 to 30, and then here he will tell you where to turn for his next portion of God's Word. Thank you, Lord, for this, your Word, revealed to Moses thousands of years ago, but still true for us today. And Lord, it pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ, and for that we're eternally grateful. Lord, instruct us this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So this is the table of the presence of the bread. This is what Jesus referred to in that passage in Matthew chapter 12, where David and his men, when they were hungry, entered into the holy place, not allowed to do. They were hungry, and they ate from the bread on the table. They were not condemned for that act. This table, like the text tells us, was to be made of acacia wood, and it was overlaid with gold. 3 feet long, 1 foot, 6 inches wide, 2 feet, 3 inches high. This, like the Ark of the Covenant, was to have rings and poles, which were necessary for when the tabernacle moved, those poles could be put into the rings and carried. This was not like the Ark of the Covenant. Those poles did not need to be remained in all the time. They were probably laid on the floor behind the table and used just for the traveling. The table also had dishes, pans, bowls, and my text says flagons, which are just basically pitchers. And those were all made out of pure gold. The molding of gold around it, the text tells us, it was supposed to be built up. You can see a little picture there. It was probably not only for beauty, but also for function. We don't know for sure, but it probably helped keep the things in place. And Aaron and his son and the priest were to set the bread of the presence before God regularly. Leviticus chapter 24, you can turn there if you want, gives us some more detail regarding this particular table. It instructs Moses that there should be 12 loaves on the table, two piles of six. You can see there in the picture, this is just an artist's rendition. No one actually knows exactly how it looked. Two piles of six. Leviticus chapter 24 tells us that pure frankincense, or spice, was poured on each pile of bread, and it was to be a memorial portion of food offering to the Lord. The Lord wasn't going to eat it. It wasn't for the Lord to eat. It was for the priest and the high priest. It was to be arranged every Saturday as a gift from the people of Israel to God to remind them of the covenant meal that took place on the side of the mountain. Remember that? God confirmed, ratified his covenant in Exodus chapter 24. The people, the elders, Moses saw God, and they ate and they drank. So that bread was supposed to be eaten one time a week on the Sabbath by Aaron and his sons in the holy place. It was a portion of the Lord's food offering, but it was eaten by the priest. And by eating the bread, the priests were representing the 12 loaves, the 12 tribes, and they were visually reminded, the priests, because no one else taught, of God's covenant promise with them of the meal that was held on the side of the mountain. And so as you enter through the screen, as you walk in, this table was on your right side, with its plates and its dishes, its bowls and its pitchers. No one ever saw this except for the priest. None of the people of Israel could see it. They had no idea except for the description that we read this morning. And they were reminded when they read this scripture, or when the boys recited this portion of scripture because they had memorized it, of God's covenant to them being ratified through a meal. So not only did this particular table point back to the meal that was celebrated on the side of the mountain when they ate and drank together before God, it also was pointing forward to someone. Like all the articles in the tabernacle, it pointed forward. There were pictures, there were shadows of a reality that we see in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus offered himself up as the bread, once for all the people. His body, that we take on occasion here at church, we don't take his body, but the representation of his body, that is our fellowship meal. We remember, don't we, when we take the bread and the cup, we remember the Lord's death until he comes. We remember that Christ ratified the new covenant with his blood, not the old covenant on the side of the mountain. And we know in this picture of the bread that Jesus Christ also refers to himself to the bread of life. So, the bread was a picture of the covenant ratified on the mountain. We're going to read another section of scripture right now, and I've asked Russ to come up. Russ is going to read from Exodus chapter 25, and then a couple other texts as well. Could you just make sure it's working when you hit it?
Okay, read from Exodus 25:31-40. Of pure gold, the lampstand and its base and its shaft are to be made of hammered work. Its cups, its bulbs, and its flowers shall be of one piece with it. 6 branches shall go out from its sides, 3 branches of the lampstand from its one side, 3 branches of the lampstand from its other side. 3 cups shall be shaped like almond blossoms in the one branch, a bulb and a flower, and 3 cups shaped like almond blossoms on the other branch, a bulb and a flower. So 6 branches going out from the lampstand, and in the lampstand 4 cups shaped like almond blossoms, its bulbs and its flowers. A bulb shall be under the first pair of branches coming out of it, and a bulb under the second pair of branches coming out of it, and a bulb under the third pair of branches coming out of it, for the 6 branches coming out of the lampstand. Their bulbs and their branches shall be of one piece with it. All this shall be one piece of hammered work of pure gold. Then you shall make its lamps 7 in number, and they shall mount its lamps so as to shed light on the space in front of it. Its snuffers and their trays shall be of pure gold. They shall be made from a talent of pure gold, with all these utensils. See that you make them after the pattern for them, which are shown to you on the mountain.
Was there another text here?
Oh, no. With Exodus chapter 27, verses 20 and 21. You shall charge the sons of Israel, that they bring you clear oil of beaten olives for the light, to make a lamp burn continually, in the tent of meeting outside the veil, which is before the testimony. Aaron and his sons shall keep it in order from evening to morning before the Lord. It shall be a perpetual statute throughout their generations for the sons of Israel.
One more text here.
17 to 24.
Chapter 37.
17 to 24. Okay. Then he made the lampstand of pure gold. He made the lampstand of hammered work. Its base and its shaft, its cups, its bulbs, and its flowers were one piece with it. There were 6 branches going out on sides, 3 branches of the lampstand from one side, and 3 branches of the lampstand from the other side. 3 cups shaped like almond blossoms, a bulb and a flower in one branch, 3 cups shaped like almond blossoms, a bulb and a flower in the other branch. So for the 6 branches going out the lampstand, in the lampstand there were 4 cups shaped like almond blossoms, with bulbs and its flowers. And a bulb was under the first pair of branches coming out of it, and a bulb under the second pair of branches coming out of it, and a bulb under the third pair of branches coming out of it, for the 6 branches coming out of the lampstand. Their bulbs, their branches, were one piece with it. The whole of it was a single hammered work of pure gold. He made 7 lamps with his number.
Sound equipment is coming in slowly from China, so we'll have this working here pretty soon. Appreciate your patience. But please do not let that be a distraction of the truth of God's Word. So let's talk a little bit about this lampstand. As you walk into the tabernacle, if you walk into the holy place, on the right side is this table, the presence of the bread, and then on the left side, there is this lampstand. It's hammered out of pure gold. It's not made out of wood. It's not overlaid with gold. It is pure gold. There are no specific dimensions given to the lampstand. I don't know if you noticed that. But it appears that it's patterned after the blossoming almond tree and its branches. One solid piece of gold. Several times in the text, one talent. A talent is about 75 pounds of gold beaten to look more or less something like that. It had one middle shaft and then 3 shafts on either side of the middle shaft for 7 lights. It had some unnamed utensils, I think, the New American Standard that Russ read, snuffers, that went along with the lampstand. It did not stand on a table. It stood on the floor. And because of the 75 pounds of gold, it was probably much bigger than you would imagine a typical lampstand. Jewish tradition says it was something like 5 feet tall and about 3.5 feet wide. It was a rather large lampstand. It is not a candle stand. It is a lampstand. It did not burn candles. Each and every one of those cups contained the highest quality of olive oil. Let me read that in the text. It was beaten by the people, and it was offered to God according to Leviticus chapter 24, verse 1. The people would beat out this pure oil and offer it to God as a sacrifice, and it was taken into the holy place to be the fuel for burning this lampstand. We learned last week that because of the four layers of curtains that overlaid the tabernacle and its frame, the holy place was a very, very dark place. There was no source of light except for the light provided by the lampstand standing on the floor on the left side of the holy place, facing the Ark of the Covenant. The text also told us that the lamps were to be tended by the priest morning and evening. We find that, I think, in the text, or if not, it was in Leviticus chapter 24 once again. This light was not to go out. And so that was one of their functions, to make sure the light in the tabernacle did not go out. Interesting, it says from evening to morning, so it burned all night as well. It was the only source of light in the holy place. And it was purpose was not only functional in the day and age of the priests in the tabernacle, not only did it provide light, it, like all the other pieces of furniture, was pointing toward someone else. It reminded those who were tending the lamp of God's continual presence with them as light, much the same way as a cloud that accompanied them for 40 years in the wilderness. At nighttime, it was a cloud of fire, and it provided not only warmth, but also light to the people of Israel. So, like all the other pieces of the furniture, it was not only a sign to the people of the Old Covenant, but a pointer to the light of the world, Jesus Christ, the mediator of a new covenant. In Christ, the full light of God's presence, the full light of His love and faithfulness, shone to the world and to us with far greater power and clarity than any 5x3 lampstand could ever do in the holy place. We're going to read now about the altar of incense. Exodus chapter 30. As you go there, I'm going to read this section of God's Word. Exodus chapter 30. You shall make an altar on which to burn incense. You shall make it of acacia wood. A cubit shall be its length, and a cubit its breadth, and it shall be square, and 2 cubits shall be its height, its horns shall be of 1 piece with it. You shall overlay it with pure gold, its top, and around its sides and its horns, and you shall make a molding of gold around it, and you shall make 2 golden rings for it. Under its molding, on 2 opposite sides of you shall make them, and they shall be holders for your poles for which to carry it. You shall make the poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. And you shall put it in front of the veil that is above the ark of the testimony, in front of the mercy seat that is above the testimony, where I will meet with you. And Aaron shall burn fragrant incense on it. Every morning when he dresses the lamps, he shall burn it. And when Aaron sets up the lamps at twilight, he shall burn it. A regular incense offering before the Lord throughout your generations. You shall not offer unauthorized incense on it, or a burnt offering or a grain offering, and you shall not pour a drink offering on it. Aaron shall make atonement on its horns once a year. With the blood of the sin offering of atonement, he shall make atonement for it once in the year throughout your generations. It is most holy to the Lord. Turn with me, still in the chapter 30 of Exodus, to verse 22. The Lord said to Moses, take the finest spices of liquid, myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet-smelling cinnamon, half as much, that is 250, and 250 of aromatic cane, and 500 of cassia, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, and a hin of olive oil, and you shall make of these a sacred anointing oil blended as by the perfumer. It shall be a holy anointing oil. With it you shall anoint the tent of meeting and the ark of the testimony, and the table and all its utensils, and the lampstand and its utensils, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering with all its utensils, and the basin and its stand. You shall consecrate them that they may be most holy. Whatever touches them will become holy. You shall anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them that they may serve me as priests. And you shall say to the people of Israel, this shall be my holy anointing oil through your generations. It shall not be poured on the body of an ordinary person, and you shall make no other like it in composition. It is holy, and it shall be holy to you. Whoever compounds any like it, whoever puts any of it on an outsider, shall be cut off from the people. The Lord said to Moses, take sweet spices, safi, and anisha, and galbanum, sweet spices with pure frankincense, of each shall there be an equal part. And make an incense, blended by the perfume, seasoned with salt, pure and holy. You shall beat some of it very small, and put part of it before the testimony in the tent of meeting where I shall meet with you. It shall be most holy for you. In the incense that you shall make according to its composition, you shall not make for yourselves. It shall be for you holy to the Lord. Whoever makes any like it to use as a perfume shall be cut off from his people. And then one more passage of scripture in reference to this altar of incense. Exodus chapter 37. Exodus chapter 37, verses 25 to 29. He made the altar of incense of acacia wood. Its length was a cubit, and its breadth was a cubit. It was square, and 2 cubits was its height. Its horns were of 1 piece with it. He overlaid it with pure gold, its top and around its side and its horns. And he made a molding of gold around it, and made 2 rings of gold on it, under its molding, on 2 opposite sides of it, as holders for the poles with which to carry it. And he made the poles of acacia wood, and he overlaid them with gold. He made the holy anointing oil also, and the pure fragrant incense blended as by the perfume. So let's try to understand this a little bit. There's a picture of what some artists conceived it to be based upon the information given in Scripture. It was made of acacia wood. It wasn't solid gold, but it was overlaid with gold. It was 18 inches high, 18 inches square, and 3 feet high. It was also made with a system of carrying with poles and rings, just like the Ark of the Covenant and the Table of Showbread. And one additional piece of equipment, the brazen altar, which we're going to learn about a little bit later in the sermon. As you walk in, lampstand, Table of Showbread, and the altar of incense stood closest to the veil before you walked into the Holy of Holies. It was closest to the Ark of the Covenant. And why was it positioned at that particular place, right before the veil, right before the Ark of the Covenant? You couldn't see the Ark of the Covenant, but it was positioned close to it. Well, Leviticus chapter 23, 13 says this, that the cloud of the incense would rise up, and then it would cover the Ark of the Covenant. And so as it would rise up, it would travel perhaps between the cracks on the curtain at the top, and it would go into the Holy of Holies and settle over the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of the Lord. Aaron and all the other priests after him were instructed to burn incense on that altar every day as part of their priestly duties, both in the morning, when they filled the oil in the lamp, and in the evening when they filled the oil in the lamp as well. The fire that was used for the incense was held in censers. It was brought in by the priest from the brazen altar out in the courtyard. They were not allowed to light a fire in the holy place. It was brought in from the altar where a sacrifice had been made to God. Priests were not to offer any type of perfume that they wanted. We read they were very specific in the composition of that incense and oil. Strange incense was prohibited. In fact, 2 of Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, you might have heard about them, died immediately when they tried to offer a strange incense on the altar of incense. God took their life for disobeying his commands. The altar of incense was not a place of sacrifice, but it was a place where the atoning blood of the sacrifice out in the courtyard was placed. It was placed on the horns. It was placed on those horns. It was a reminder to the priest carrying out his duties of the blood that was shed in the ratification of the covenant that God made with them on the side of the mountain. And that blood put on the horns was put how many times a year? One time a year. One time a year, the blood that was offered on the Day of Atonement was taken in by the high priest, and he spread and sprinkled some of the blood there. A reminder to them of God's redemption of them as Israel. It was a reminder to them of the covenant that was sealed with blood on the side of the mountain. Incense in Scripture many, many times refers to the prayers of the saints. It's a picture in several passages of Scripture that incense is compared to the presence or the prayers of God's saints. In that is sweet to God, a sweet aroma as we come to God humbly, but it also is a picture of prayer because it ascends into heaven. And in this case, it doesn't go to heaven because it's blocked by the curtain, but it covers over the Ark of the Covenant where God is. That is the presence of God. And so their prayers offered on a daily basis go before the presence of God. You can see the picture there, how that points to a far better mediator than a priest offering incense that hovers over the Ark of the Covenant. We offer prayers to God. Now, how many times in a year was the high priest certain that the cloud of incense that he burned daily actually was hovering over the presence of God, the altar? How many times? Did he have the assurance the infant was actually accomplishing his purposes. How many times? Just one time. All the other ones by faith. He didn't know. But one time as he walked in, he says, yes, there it is. There's the cloud. Has it been happening the other 364 days? We have a far better assurance that our prayers are taken to God. And how are our prayers taken to God? In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He ushers us in to the curtain that was split, and our prayers are taken directly to the throne room of God. Praise the Lord. I'd ask Kyle to come up and read a couple portions of Scripture regarding the bronze altar.
To this chapter 27, we're going to read the first 8 verses. This is the instructions, the next passage that we'll read, or the fulfillment of these instructions. Starting in verse 1, you shall make the altar of acacia wood, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad. The altar shall be square, and its height shall be 3 cubits. And you shall make horns for its 4 corners. Its horns shall be of 1 piece with it, and you shall overlay it with bronze. You shall make pots for it to receive its ashes, and shovels, and basins, and forks, and fire pans. You shall make all of its utensils of bronze. You shall also make for it a grating, a network of bronze, and on the net you shall make 4 bronze rings at its 4 corners. And you shall set it on the ledge of the altar, so that the net extends halfway down the altar. And you shall make poles for the altar, poles of acacia wood, and overlay them with bronze. And the poles shall be put through the rings, so that the poles are on 2 sides of the altar when it's carried. You shall make it hollow with boards. As it has been shown you on the mountain, so shall it be made. If you would flip over 11 chapters to Exodus chapter 38. We'll read the first 7 verses here. It says, he made the altar of burnt offering of acacia wood, 5 cubits worth its length, 5 cubits its breadth, it was a square, and 3 cubits worth its height. He made the horns for it on its 4 corners. Its horns were of 1 piece with it, and he overlaid it with bronze. And he made all the utensils of the altar, the pots, the shovels, the basins, the forks, and the fire pans. He made all its utensils of bronze. And he made for the altar a grating, a network of bronze under its ledge, extending halfway down. He cast 4 rings on the 4 corners of the bronze grating as holders for the poles. He made the poles of acacia wood and overlaid them with bronze. And he put the poles through the rings on the sides of the altar to carry it with them. He made it hollow with boards. God's word.
There's a picture of an artist's rendition of what he perceives based upon the text of scriptures that we read this morning of what perhaps it looked like. It was a box, hollow box. The structure was made of acacia wood, once again, and it was overlaid completely with bronze so that it could survive the high temperatures of the burnt offerings that were offered on the sacrifice. It was 7 foot square, 7 foot and a half, 7.5 feet square, and 4.5 feet high. It, too, had the rings all the way around so the poles could be going through it, and it could be carried by those who were tasked with the carrying of the ark when the cloud of fire or the cloud moved. That was signaling that the people should move as well. In the upper corners, just like the altar of incense, were these horns, referred to as horns. And we find out in Psalms that those horns were used to tie down the largest sacrifices. And so rope was tied around them to hold the largest sacrifices in place. Several types of burnt offerings were made on the sacrifice daily. Not all of them were animal sacrifices. Sometimes it was grain sacrifices that were offered there on the altar, the bronze altar. All the sacrifices that were made on a continual basis were the finest and the best sheep or grain that they had. And they were inspected by the priest before they went into the tabernacle, these offerings. No one was allowed into the tent area or even the offering place except for the priest. They had to present their offering to the priest at the gate, and then that offering was either accepted or rejected by the priest. It was the first piece of furniture that you encountered when you walked through the gate of the tabernacle. When you first entered the courtyard, there was this big bronze altar. It was the center of all the activity outside in the courtyard. There were many other utensils that went along with the bronze altar. There were pans, there were shovels, there were basins, there were forks, there were bowls, there were other utensils as well. These utensils were used in the preparation and the maintenance of the altar. Each was made, the text tells us, specifically out of bronze, and each was set aside for the work of the tabernacle. There was also a grate where the ashes fell on before they hit the floor. The grate also had rings and poles on it which to carry the altar. The sacrificial system, of course, points to the ultimate sacrifice, our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of all the Old Testament sacrificial system. Whereas offerings needed to be made continually, every day by the priest, Jesus Christ offered his body up, what, once for all. Amen? Once for all. God was doing something and building his house. Not only for the people back then, but for us today. He was pointing to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. One more piece of furniture. Go with me to Exodus chapter 30, the bronze basin. Exodus 30, 17 to 21. The Lord said to Moses, you shall also make a basin of bronze with a stand of bronze for washing. You shall put it in between the tent of meeting and the altar, and you shall put water in it, with which Aaron and his son shall wash their hands and their feet. When they go into the tent of meeting, or when they come near the altar to minister, to burn a food offering to the Lord, they shall wash with water so that they may not die. They shall wash their hands and their feet so that they may not die. It shall be for a statute forever to them, even to him and to his offspring, throughout their generations. And go with me to Exodus chapter 38. There are two portions in Exodus, one describing and one implementing. The earlier chapters in Exodus are God describing to Moses on the side of the mountain, and the later chapters are the actual building of the tabernacle and its furniture. Verse 8 of chapter 38. He made the basin of bronze and its stand of bronze from the mirrors of the ministering women who ministered in the entrance of the tent of the meeting. The bronze labor, once again, had no specific dimensions like the other pieces of furniture. It was essentially a pool for ceremonial washings to keep the priest pure. Later on, when he describes the basin made for the temple, the permanent structure, it was rather large. It was so large that the priest could actually immerse their entire bodies in the water within the pool. But this basin here in the tabernacle, a temporary structure, was much smaller for washing hands and feet. And it was made, the text tells us, from the bronze of the mirrors of the women who were ministering outside at the gate. Significant that it was placed after the sacrifice was made and the priest was going to enter the tent itself. The labor was there, right before the opening, right before the screen. It was the last object to be encountered before entering the tabernacle. Before entering God's presence, the priest had to be made ceremonially clean. Of course, it needed to be made physically clean, too, because their hands were completely covered with blood. But it had more of a function of cleaning them ceremonially. They needed to be pure. Isn't that interesting? They offered a sacrifice, but that sacrifice did not, the blood of that animal, it wasn't capable of making them pure. Pure enough to enter God's presence. The Levitical priests had to continually wash themselves to ready themselves to enter into the presence of God. What a beautiful picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, who cleanses us from sin. Interesting, as the priests offered the sacrifice, they still had to wash their hands to be made pure. The sacrifice didn't make them clean, but Christ's blood makes us clean. Christ's blood makes us clean. When Christ died, his people were cleansed once for all by his blood shed on the cross. We no longer need a ritualistic washing with water to come before God because Christ has provided for us, as Hebrews says, purification for our sins. And now we can approach the throne of the room of grace with confidence, being sure that we are acceptable to God in Christ Jesus. One more thing before we close. Exodus chapter 29. We're going to talk a little bit about the courtyard itself. You shall make, Exodus 27, verses 9 to 19. You shall make the court of the tabernacle. On the south side of the court shall have hangings of fine twine linen, 100 cubits long for one side. Its 20 pillars and their 20 bases shall be of bronze, but the hooks of pillars and their fillets shall be of silver. And likewise for its length on the north side there shall be hangings 100 cubits long, its pillars 20 and their bases 20 of bronze, but their hooks of pillars and their fillets shall be of silver. And for the breadth of the court on the west side there shall be hangings for 50 cubits. With 10 pillars and 10 bases, the breadth of the court on the front of the east shall be 50 cubits. The hangings for the one side of the gate shall be 15 cubits with their 3 pillars and 3 bases. On the other side, the hangings shall be 15 cubits with their 3 pillars and 3 bases. For the gate of the court, there shall be a screen, 20 cubits long, of blue and a purple and a scarlet yarn and fine linen, embroidered with needlework. It shall have 4 pillars and with them 4 bases. All the pillars around the court shall be filleted with silver. Their hooks shall be of silver and their bases of bronze. The length of the court shall be 100 cubits, their breadth 50, and the height 50 cubits with the hangings and fine linen and bases of bronze. All the utensils of the tabernacle for every use and all its pegs and all its pegs of the court shall be of bronze. Exodus chapter 38. And now the actual implementation of the instructions received by Moses from God. Exodus 38 verse 9. And he made the court. For the south side of the hangings of the court were of fine twine linen, 800 cubits. Their 20 pillars and their 20 bases were of bronze. But the hooks of the pillars and the fillets were of silver. And for the north side there were hangings of 100 cubits. Their 20 pillars and their 20 bases were of bronze, but the hooks of pillars and their fillets were of silver. And for the west side were hangings of 50 cubits, their 10 pillars and their 10 bases, and the hooks of the pillars and their fillets were of silver. And for the front of the east, and for the front to the east, 50 cubits. The hangings for one side of the gate were 15 cubits, and the three pillars in their three bases. And so for the other side, on both sides of the gate of the court were hangings of 15 cubits with their three pillars and their three bases. All the hangings around the court were of fine twine linen, and the bases for the pillars were of bronze, and the hooks of the pillars and their fillets were of silver. The overlaying of their capitals was also of silver, and the pillars of the court were filleted with silver. And the screen for the gate of the court was embroidered with needlework, and blue, and purple, and scarlet yarn, and fine twine linen. It was 20 cubits long and 5 cubits high in its breadth, corresponding to the hangings of the court, and their pillars were four in number, their four bases were of bronze, their hooks of silver, and their overlaying of their capitals and their fillets of silver, and all the pegs for the tabernacle and for the courts all around were of bronze. There you go. There's the tabernacle. 150 feet long, 75 feet wide. Linen curtains, 7.5 feet high. Pillars, sockets, hooks, fillets, loops, rods, pins, and rods. Bronze. That is the tabernacle. That's the front. There's your altar of incense. There's the basin. There's your holy place. And there's the Holy of Holies. All serving a function for the people of Israel in the desert. God present was with them. But all pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. Didn't Jesus Christ say to the Jews at this time, destroy this temple? Now, he was referring to something far more magnificent than this. This took about 10 months to build. The temple took much longer time than that. But he said, destroy this temple, think tabernacle, and in 3 days, what did he say? I will raise it up. How are you going to do that in 3 days? And then you look at the temple, how are you going to do that in 3 days, God? Jesus. And what was Jesus referring to? His body. Body. And every single item, the Bible doesn't tell us how. Kyle and I were talking about it in Bible study the other day. Remember when Jesus was on the way to Emmaus with two disciples and he was talking, he was revealing everything about the Old Testament scripture? Says how it all pointed to him. I don't know if he took them on a temple tour in their minds. This means that. This is me. This is me. This is me. I would have loved to have been there, and I know Kyle would have as well. And one day we will be in God's abode forever and ever. All of us who have placed our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Next week, we have a guest speaker with us. His name is Junior, and his wife's name, she's an American, her name is Bree. They have a young little girl. And they'll be bringing God's Word. And then I would encourage you to stay for Sunday school to hear a little bit more about their ministry. But in 2 weeks, we're going to finish this tabernacle. We're going to finish, we're going to talk about the priests, their clothes. We're going to talk about the importance of the Sabbath and the importance of the census tax. And then in 3 weeks, we're going to talk about their worship of the golden altar while Moses was up on the side of the mountain. And then we'll be done with Exodus. I think we're according to schedule. We'll do a couple songs in June. And then in July, we'll begin, or re-begin, are studying the book of Acts. And then in the fall, we'll do Matthew. We'll be in Matthew. So will you bow your head with me one more time? Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the fulfillment of everything that we've read here today. Your Son is the fulfillment of everything we want to do today. You knew what you were doing, all according to a plan, all to encourage the people with your presence, but also to warn them of your holiness. And that was fulfilled perfectly when your Son, Jesus Christ, tabernacled with us in his body. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that he has risen. He's in heaven. He's preparing a place for us today. And one day he promised to come and take us to live with him forever. Lord, if there's anyone here this morning who does not know that Jesus Christ sacrificed his body once for all for their sins, I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will convince them of that using the words spoken today. These things we pray in Christ's name. Amen.